if you guys could introduce yourselves briefly, yep, so everybody knows who they're listening to.
Hi, everyone. My name is Matt Klein. I am vice president here at DC Norris North America.
Hi, I'm Vic Smith. I'm president of DC Norris North America. Over 40 years of experience in food processing equipment and setting solutions.
Thank you both for joining. In the event that my voice stays on, the lone female voice in this discussion, my name is Carly Wojcik, and I manage marketing for DC Norris North America. Feeling lucky today to have these two sitting around the same table to talk about the hidden cost of choosing the wrong food processing equipment. Definitely something you've seen, Dick, in your 40 years.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So before we jump into how to avoid these hidden costs, I'm wondering if you guys can shed some light on some of the most surprising or unexpected costs that clients have seen in your experience working with them when the equipment isn't the right fit.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen quite a bit of it and experience of our own equipment that hasn't necessarily been the right fit initially, but we've been, you know, fortunate to make it work for the client. But I think probably the best way is with an example where we had one customer came to us just to produce scrambled eggs. Sounds really simple, but the equipment they had and they bought and committed to, they just literally could not make it work for that particular product. We, you know, we've given them some guidance and the equipment wouldn't tilt. So they couldn't discharge the product from the kettle. You know, simply enough, now we know, but that was one of them. And another one was this burning on in the kettle where they just used a standard jacket. And ideally, they would be better with steam injection to limit the amount of burn on. Yeah, that's just one example.
Yeah, and a lot of it comes down to conversations with the client to know their application, so that you can know the ins and outs of how they produce their product, because every client produces their product differently than the next. So that's part of the process, is getting everyone involved and around the table up front. And the sooner you can do that, the better you are down the road in specifying the equipment. Some of the other pitfalls to look for are ongoing cost of operation, where I've seen some clients, this was actually in a packaging format, where they didn't look at what the ongoing costs were, and they were just looking at the low cost up front for the equipment. But they ended up paying more in their ongoing costs to keep the equipment running. So that was a bit of a different application than our cooking equipment, but it applies here as well.
I think also you're looking at hidden costs in particular. You know, there's something that, you know, it really gets overlooked, but it's so integral to obviously food safety, but also turnover. Product, you know, if you don't have to clean in between batches, then obviously you can get more out of the equipment. So I think there's, you know, it's something that's often overlooked and would definitely be a hidden cost.
Yeah.
And one of the other things highlighted in the article is really the cost to the confidence of your team, the cost of potentially turning over operators because they know that they're having to work with equipment that just isn't up to the task. To your point, maybe it's too hard to clean. It's always down for repairs, and seeing that erode team morale.
Yeah, I think it erodes confidence in the equipment. And so if the operator loses confidence in using the equipment, then they won't use it to its maximum. And they won't try and find the best out of the equipment. So yeah, I think operators' involvement at an early stage is integral to
longevity
with the equipment and getting the best out of it. Well, if they want to use it, they'll use it. Unless
the unfortunate part of that too is it can create a bias that then perpetuates throughout the organization of, yeah, we don't want to use that L5 because for whatever reason it may be applicable, it may not, but there's that bias that's there. And part of that in terms of the hidden costs is knowing how to get the best out of your equipment. So you can have the right equipment, but if you don't know how to operate it or how to maximize it, it can just be, you know, a giant paperweight in your facility, where taking the right steps up front to be able to operate the machinery most effectively and most efficiently, that's something that we pride ourselves on, is being able to walk the walk and talk the talk. So being able to apply our expertise to help our clients maximize the equipment and knowing what products they're producing and helping them exploring recipes before we actually get the equipment in by running them in our test kitchen. I would say the detail part of it is really truly knowing how to operate the equipment with the processes that they've laid out.
I think most of this is like upfront support or upfront knowledge, but we're also doing it post-sale, you know, where we're working with clients that have had equipment in for 3 or 4 years and still helping get the best out of that.
Walk me through how this plays out in the real world. So for example, we're saying bring your operators in early. Are you wanting them to come to a sales call? What does that look like? You talked a little bit about a test kitchen. You know, what stage in the process does that become something that clients or prospective clients are engaged in? Walk us through the process of avoiding these hidden costs in real day-to-day.
I think one of the problems that we face getting the operators involved is that most of our clients are reluctant to get the operators involved. And I think that's a difficult thing to overcome. I can only think in my 40 plus years, I can only think of a few examples where the customer or the end user has actually brought their operators with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's been normally, when they have done that and they have brought them in early and we get the buy-in of the operator, we find that they're more eager to learn, they're more eager to work with the equipment, and it's beneficial for the client in the end. But it's very difficult to get for us to actually get the employees there. I don't know whether it's like a perception thing where they think, well, we don't need to get the operator involved at this step. But they truly do. I think that getting that buy-in is so important. And it's amazing learning what we learn from the operator as well, you know, when we find out some of the, you know, just loading the ingredients into a kettle, how do we load them? And the operator may say, well, you know, well, we combined all the ingredients into one bin because it's just easier. I've only got to lift it once and I've only got to throw it in once.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just knowing that, knowing how they operate it for us is really beneficial.
To that point, some of the operations managers don't have that level of detail.
They're not hands on.
And that's where bringing those who are actually doing work and are on the floor every single day, that's where it adds value, because you may ask a question of, okay, what takes the most time in your day? And they may say, well, you know, when we're adding butter in, it's a solid state. And okay, so we can talk to the whole broader team about a butter melting station or something to add to their process that eliminates those 15 minutes of someone waiting for that next step.
Yeah. No, that's the point, actually, knowing some of the issues they face. Like, you know, you just use butter as an example. We can't add a 50-pound block of butter directly into a kettle because it's the potential to damage the kettle. Yeah. Just the method of adding it, but also, you know, we've got an agitator in there, we could damage the agitator, but the time taken to physically melt that, and just adding just knowing that and then being able to say, okay, well, look, we can remove this and we can add this to the kettle. Even as simple as adding milk, you know, we have systems in place where we can automatically dose milk in, but the customer isn't necessarily aware of that, but they're not necessarily aware either how much they're spilling on.
Yeah.
Just physically adding it into the kettle. So there's a lot of unknowns that come out of discussions with the operators on, you know, and yeah, just the physicality of lifting things up and putting them into the kettle. Or even discharging, you know. Have they got in the room underneath it so they can physically get in and connect? So yeah, there's a lot comes out of it.
Yeah.
won't be missed by excluded from those conversations.
Right.
And they don't have to necessarily be at a tribe, you know, it's just including them in the conversation initially.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Everybody heard it here. Bring your operators to the table.
If you can, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, if you can. And I'm sure a lot of it is, you know, time, use of their time. So yeah, that's really good advice. And hopefully you guys start seeing more of that as businesses realize that the reward is worth it, worth the investment in bringing them forward early on. When you talk about optimizing use and going into a facility after equipment has been installed, is that something that you guys routinely are checking in on accounts about, or are you waiting for them to raise a flag? How does that play out in real life?
We are constantly talking to our clients. It might be that we just noticed when them purchasing more spare parts.
Mm-hmm.
Realize that there's a potential problem. So we need to open a discussion with them. They reach out to us. Yeah. And then we might, from that, just by listening, we might be able to say, okay, well, have we tried this? What about that? And come up with our pure alternatives. What about getting our process engineers to site? What about risk management? Are you using it effectively? Now, there's a number of things to promote discussion, but I think for the most part, we don't lose contact with our customers, do we? We
no.
like to be in touch with them. We like to find out that they're getting the best out of the equipment. Yeah. And yeah, so we are proactive in that respect.
In that realm, but we also, with the partnership that we have with our customers, they reach out to us if they have an issue or if they say, hey, I'm bringing this contract on. I want to be able to get X amount more out of my equipment. What can I do? And that may be in the form of an upgrade, maybe in the form of just consulting with them and talking about their process and how they run and what their batches look like in their lots and if they run campaigns versus individual discrete manufacturing. We definitely go beyond just the equipment to help minimize the hidden costs of the wrong equipment or the right equipment that's used in the wrong manner.
And we have organizations working to their customer. So if their customer thinks, you know, is this the right solution, Brooks?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've done that. So we do work with the supermarkets, not on a daily basis, but we do work with them. I'll say supermarkets, but them will be customers. And you know, so we are working with a number of different parties.
Aren't we? Yeah.
And we're always trying to be proactive. It's not always easy.
Yeah.
You know, we are trying to be proactive with our clients. And we don't just, at the end of the sale, walk away and move on. We are in touch with them on a daily basis. So most of the businesses are big business anyway. So we do focus on that.
I think that's what's really unique about DC North America is this repeat business is a client's willingness to keep the door open, say, you put equipment in and it's not working the way they thought it was, they could just as easily start the process over again and source new equipment and a new partner. But there's something unique about your relationships with your clients in that they're willing to say, okay, no, come tackle this with us. Let's address this problem together again.
And I think, Carly, that's because we're not in the quick sale. We're not selling a standard piece of equipment. Yes, it's quite generic, the equipment. We're selling it as a process, more as a process solution rather than just say, okay, we'll buy this piece of equipment. We will modify that piece of equipment. We'll make it suit them. So it's, you know, we're quite unique in that way.
Anything else, any other words of advice that you might give someone considering an equipment purchase?
I think share as much information as you can. There's a danger where some customers will regard their information as confidential.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, yes, there is confidentiality and we don't need to know all of the minute detail. We don't need to know how much salt you're adding or which seasoning. So, you know, sharing recipes is useful but it's not essential. But I think sharing information at an early stage is quite crucial to the project and how well the project will go ultimately. I think the more information you can share, we're signing confidentiality agreements every single day.
Yes.
And, you know, we're working with a lot of major blue chip food producers. We don't get that business by accident. It's because we do develop partnerships. So share.
Yeah. Sharing and just being open-minded and willing to, you may be the best in the industry, but okay. Being willing to admit, all right, here's where our hurdles are, is what's going to make everyone better. And that's what we specialize in, is helping to identify the hurdles. So that way we can tune the equipment and tune the process to make everyone that much better. And that's the partnership that we promote and that we work through every single day with our clients.
Tell everyone where they might be able to reach the two of you if they would like to discuss their setup one-on-one or have further questions.
Yeah, you can reach, there's a number of ways. Yeah, you can reach us through our website. That's been mail at dcnorrisna.com. You can reach out directly to us. Our contact details are on there. Probably through the website would be the easiest.
Yep. Go on, submit a form, and one of us will be reaching back out to you.
I think that's what's so interesting too about DC Norris North America, the volume of business that you guys do, the clients that you're working with. But really, if I cough, I could speak directly with either of you and you may work directly on my project. So I think that's interesting for listeners to know too. Like, you're hearing from Matt and Dick right now, and that's who might answer the phone when you call too.
I've seen the truth. Yeah. Give us a call.
All right. Perfect. Thank you, Bugs.
Thank you.
Thank you.